The quality of this episode of The Next Step was dramatically diminished due to technical difficulties beyond our control. We apologize for any inconvenience, and thank you for listening.
Next Step number 678, June 3rd, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into The Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here, and if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
I want to talk about change. How's that? Is that bold enough? Change. And no, not the kind you put in your pocket. I mean real change. About going in one direction and altering and going in another direction. Yeah, I know. In Christian circles, they refer to the idea of repentance, right? That's 180 degree change. We're going one direction, you decide to go back. I'm not talking about that kind of repentance change. I'm talking about just change that brings about a difference in life. And I talk about this because I pass by a book that's on my shelf just about every day, or not every day, but it catches my eye. And it's by the Dalai Lama. It's called The Change of Heart. A dear friend of mine gave it to me many years ago. A change of heart. And I always think about that, especially when we're talking about war, when we're talking about issues that plague us as a species, but also these days as an Armenian individual who is seeing huge, huge violence against my own people and questioning, how do we bring about change? And you realize at some point that, yeah, you can bring about all kinds of change, political change, but at some point it has to be a change of heart on people. And I want to talk about that change because I think a lot of times we pay lip service to change. In other words, we all talk about how important it is in our lives. In fact, we talk about habits that need to be changed. The most obvious, of course, weight. The other one is smoking cessation, addictions, right? I mean, in a sense, yeah, weight and smoking are addictions. So the broader category, addictions and how to overcome those addictions and finding change in your life. We see patterns. This week, I had to do a funeral of a lady who was plagued by the genocide all of her life. She had lived almost 90 years and was plagued by the genocide that her parents saw. And it was so traumatic, such a traumatic event, that here it was over 106 years later. She is the daughter of genocide survivors. And this genocide had consumed her life to the point where in her riches, in everything that she had, the only thing that mattered for her was to bring about a change on a global scale. And having all that wealth, she was able to do what she could, but couldn't bring about the change that she wanted. So what I'm getting at is that the wealth sometimes gets in our way, thinking that, okay, if you have the means, you can bring about change. I don't think so. I was with a man just the other day. He was here in America for health reasons to come here and seek medical attention. And on the last day that we were together, he lit up a cigarette. And I know this man had smoked for many, many years. And you know, when people, I should have said he was from Armenia, right? Okay. So when people come from Armenia and they're visiting here, it's always the Marlboro Reds that somehow attracts them. I think it's like the ultimate. And it's a real man's smoke, okay? And here is a man who has reached an advanced age and kind of gets to the idea that, okay, yeah, my health is suffering, but I enjoy the smoking. So even though we know sometimes what our change should be, and I'm just using this as an example, all of us have something that bothers us in our lives that we know is wrong, and somehow we make up excuses, right? We make up excuses for doing that wrong. And in fact, isn't that in our confession? While knowing the evil, yet I willingly gave way to it. From good works I purposely kept away. Forget about those good works. Let's talk about knowing the evil, yet willingly gave way to it. And it's a very obvious one, smoking. It's been known, it's been said, and it's been proven that it causes damage to your health. And yet there are people who smoke. And is it because they want to damage their health? Or is it because there's an addiction there? Or is it that possibly, they may enjoy and understand that there are consequences to their actions? And this is on a personal level, right? How about on the global level? We talk about global warming. That's a big one, right? In fact, today in this country, there is here in America, there is a lot of discussion about global warming, especially because the weather patterns are so kooky. That's my scientific term, okay? Kooky! Here we are in Southern California. We are going through another drought where you've got millions of people and you need water. Meanwhile, on the east coast of our same country, we have people who are being flooded by storms. And, yeah, I know these are weather patterns, and in all fairness, we've kept records of weather patterns for only about 150 years. I think even that is a little bit too much. So we really don't know on the large scale. We don't know if this is recurring weather patterns or if it is really a product of global warming. But we do also know that there are really weird things that are happening, namely the huge icebergs that are melting. And the icebergs are melting because of the weather. The degrees of heat is not that significant. It's 1 degree Celsius, I think, goes up, and you've got icebergs melting. You say, okay, well, what's an iceberg here or there? Well, an iceberg here or there means that, yeah, just like when you put an ice cube in your drink, what happens to your drink? It goes over the top, right? You fill up your glass with your drink, and then you take an ice cube and you put it in it. What's going to happen? It's going to displace the volume, and all of a sudden the level of your drink goes higher and higher, and eventually it does come off of the top. Well, imagine now on the world scale, is it possible? And I don't know. I don't know the science behind this. I know what I've heard. That's what I'm sharing. Is it possible? So I'm asking the question, is it possible that these icebergs that are melting, is it possible that, yes, the levels, the sea levels are going up? And it is definitely possible because we're seeing it. It's quantifiable, okay? Quantifiable. In other words, you can take a stick and you can measure where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you can measure it today. And it's quantifiable. In other words, there is a quantity of water that is going up, so you can measure. Is it 6 inches? Is it 2 inches? Is it a millimeter? The important part is that it is quantifiable. Now, not so when we talk about matters of the spirit, right? We talk about peace, for instance. How do you bring about peace? You talk about homelessness. I was having a discussion today with one of my sons, with Sevan. We were talking about the problem of homelessness, and particularly now here it's in Southern California, we're getting to the summer. And as I mentioned, we're in the middle of a drought. It's very hot. It's getting hot. We're on the up. Days are getting warmer and warmer. And you realize that, well, it is very attractive here in Southern California, right? is very attractive because it's one of the few places where you can come and live year-round. Ah, yes. You can't do that. Got another son who's out in Scottsdale, Arizona. In fact, just a few minutes ago we heard from them. They're vacationing out there with a small family, and I said, what's the temperature? 106 degrees in the shade. And I've been there. I've been there when he was going to school. I have been through summers there. It is like 120 is like normal. We're talking about Fahrenheit, yes. And you look at it and you say, wow, who could survive? Well, they don't. Actually, during the summer, people live in air-conditioned, in other words, manipulated environments. So you've got 3 months where you have to live in an air-conditioned system and travel to places in air-conditioned cars. And that's a means of survival, okay? Meanwhile, there are places in the same country, yes, that has a town in Arizona that has 106 degree weather. There's another place in this country that has cold, that has rain, that has storm. In fact, just yesterday, what was the date yesterday? June 1st, okay? June 1st, if you were in Anchorage, Alaska, as you know, during this, until the summer solstice, the days get longer and longer and longer. Well, if you happen to be in Anchorage, Alaska, the sun set a few minutes after midnight. That's yesterday. In other words, if you were standing in Anchorage, Alaska on June 1st, the sun set on June 2nd. That's how long the day was, okay? So just think about that for a moment. Mind-boggling, right? What I'm getting at is that, you know, there are certain places that are just wonderful to live in. Certainly the population will come here. Certainly it's attractive to a homeless population that has to live on the streets. You don't want to be living on the streets if it's going to be snowing, if you have to pick up, if you don't want to be living on the streets, if you have to survive 120 degree weather. No, it's a very attractive place here in Southern California. And so the environment, in a sense, dictates what people are, the movement of the people. And so when we talk about change, how do you bring about change? Certain things are beyond our control. Certain things are within our control and require for us to really analyze and figure out how you can control those environments, how you can do the things that you want to do, how you can bring about change. I think about several years ago, I read this book, another one that's on my shelf. It's called 8 Weeks to Optimum Health. It's by Andrew Weil. Weil, Weil, W-E-I-L, M-D, is the author of Spontaneous Healing. This is back, I would say, about a good 20 years ago when we were doing some healing work with Torkom Sardarian out in the desert, reading his book, and there was just a lot of stuff going on. And I remember this book, 8 Weeks to Optimum Health, he starts it off, his preface is that if you're going to get to optimal health, your first thing that you need to do is weed out everything that doesn't belong there. In other words, if I remember right, it was like, you know, go into your pantry and clear out everything that is processed, all processed foods. Get rid of everything that is filled with sugar. Get rid of everything that is filled with processed wheat, in other words, flour, and so on. There was a whole list of stuff. And as I always think about this in for these reasons, okay? So you want to bring about change for your body, optimum health for yourself, yes. What about optimum health for our planet, for the world? Are there certain things that we need to weed out? And I always think about this in terms of we as Armenians, because it just seems like the odds are against us, right? When you have such a small population here on the planet, I mean, really, relatively, it is really the minority of the minority. Like if you took, you know, you made a list of all the minorities here in the United States, let's say in any Western country, you name it, okay? Make a list of the minorities, and I'll guarantee you that Armenians are pretty much at the bottom of that list. Yeah, maybe there's a few that are below it in number-wise, but generally because there's so few in the world, okay? So when you're looking at that, how do you bring about change that you need, especially in a world that is silent about so much? And those of you who have followed me know that we've been very critical because the world, in a sense, has been silent in the face of these kind of horrid, horrid tragedies. In fact, it's one of the reasons why In His Shoes came about, because we cannot stay quiet. I take to heart what Reverend Dr. King said, that in the end, it's not the voices of our enemies that we will remember, but we will remember the silence of our friends. And, you know, I guess the bigger question then is, who is our friends? Obviously, we just went through some episodes like that. For many Armenians, the friend was the United States. And all we expected from the United States was the use of a word, genocide, and they did say the G word, it was there, the president said it, but meanwhile we find out that there's millions and millions of dollars being funneled over to Azerbaijan and to Turkey, basically to be used against the Armenians. No, it's not that, you know, that's on the agenda. It's not like the government said, okay, here's money, go and use it against the Armenians. But when the plan of that country, Turkey, for instance, is to annihilate all Armenians, well, guess what? When you send money over, yeah, they're not going to be using it to finance public radio. There's no such thing as NPR over there, okay? They're going to just be using it for the goals that the state has. Among them is pan-Turkism, okay? It's just a given. This is nothing new that I'm saying. It's just very obvious. And you know what? The people in the State Department know better than I do about this. But what they don't know is the human heart and the human soul. And so what I'd like to suggest is that when we come back today for the second portion of today, we talk about change in a completely different manner. Not about those physical changes, as I was saying, about the homeless people. They come, they find a place that is amicable for their needs. In many ways, we too, in everything that we do, we find a place in life where we're standing, and we come to that place and we say, you know what, this works in all best circumstances. The heavy smoker who knows that it's wrong to smoke, right, enjoys, and so they come to a compromise. They come to a situation, well, you know, I'm going to compromise at this place. And come on, let's be honest, we all do it, right? We all do it. We find a place where it's comfortable and there's a compromise. We pay for it in different ways. We compromise with what's given. But on the grander scale, when we talk about peace, and we're seeing it right now playing out in the world, in the Middle East, specifically in Israel, which is the place everyone's looking because of the people between the Israelis and the people in Gaza and the Palestinians. And it's just interesting because people keep saying, oh yeah, we're going to... Okay, if you get as old as I am, okay, if you get as old as I am, you have heard the expression, the peace talks. Every president that I can remember in my lifetime has had peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I remember Arafat. Yeah, Arafat. He was prominent. He was the leader of the Palestinians. And we saw so much in our lifetime. And still there is no peace. And you know, listen to me really carefully. This is not a wish, but we all know that no matter what they talk and whatever they say, there is not going to be peace on the next round either. Until when? Until there is a change of heart. I'm going to put a little link on today's show notes. One of our listeners sent an interesting video of a man talking right in Israel, someone from the Israeli parliament, talking about why this can't take place. And I'm just going to put it on the show notes so you can look at it, because that's not the focus of today's show. We're talking about change. How do you bring about the big changes that you want? How do we bring about, for instance, peace? Especially when we deny that the way you bring about peace is through violence. I refuse that. I refuse that. Just as a matter of principle. Forget about the ethical implications. It's a matter of principle. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to go and beat up people, kill them, so that there can be peace. Yeah, obviously, yes. The obvious thing is, if you get rid of the people, there will be peace, right? You can't do that. You can't. Because you can't get rid of the voice. You can't get rid of the soul. And that's what I want to talk about, is that we fool ourselves in believing that with violence we could bring about peace. And what I'm going to share with you is the idea of, can we change our heart so we are talking about peace and working towards peace through the means that have been given to us. And we'll do that right after today's song. We take a break every week, right in the middle somewhere, to give us time to digest what has been said and to enjoy a tune. Here's today's choice.
If you knew that you would die today, saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction would cause an effect? Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget, makes you change. Comes to blows. Are you so sure you change. If you'd broken every rule and vow, and hard times come to bring you down, would you change? Would you change?
If you knew that you Tracy Chapman doing change, what did you expect? What did you expect today? Of course I was going to find something like that. And a beautiful song it is. I hope you enjoyed it. I haven't heard that in a long, long time. And actually it was really nice because I had a chance to kind of listen to it in a different manner. Once you're talking about change and you're talking about would you change on what? What circumstance? In essence, it's a beautiful song because it brings up beautiful images, beautiful questions. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll have a link on today's show notes pointing to her and her song. Let's continue.
Find some way to square the circle. Feet slipping, sliding on the level. Connect to reason, is there anybody there?
Drum it in. The quality of this episode of The Next Step was dramatically diminished due to technical difficulties beyond our control. We apologize for any inconvenience, and thank you for listening.
We are talking about change today, but change in a different way, okay? Change of not from the outside, but from within. Or let's say it this way, change that is not dependent on outside influences, but inner influences. For instance, you're ready for a change in the way you drive, the car you drive, and you've been driving a 1992 Oldsmobile. And you're getting all kinds of funny looks down the street. And the last time you felt like this was when you got rid of your 1957 Edsel. And you said that, you know, I don't want to look like this anymore, you know. And so you go out there and you go to a car dealer and you say, I got to get rid of this Oldsmobile. And they say, oh, I'm sorry, they don't even make Oldsmobiles now, okay. So you want to change because of what? Because you're tired of the way you're getting looks. Or let's even forget about people looking at you and other people deciding that you're tired of the way it breaks down. It's constantly in the shop. It's breaking down every time you try to drive it. So you're ready for change. Now that's based on outside influences, right? Outside factors. The stares that you get, the breakdowns, the trouble that it's bringing you, all things that you can't afford to keep driving this, and these are outside factors. But there are other changes that you want in life that aren't necessarily dependent on outside factors. For instance, the big ones. Let's talk about peace. You know that you need to have peace, and let's talk about it in an individual manner first, and then we'll get to the global, okay? Let's say, for instance, you don't have peace of mind for simple reasons. Financially, you're having a rough time. You have that peace of mind. Well, you go to bed every night, and you're struggling with the idea that, how am I going to make ends meet? And you can't sleep well at night. How about relationship problems? You go to bed at night and your head spins because of all the difficulties that you have with so-and-so, with this person, with a partner, with a friend, with a relative, and so on, your head spins, and you're looking for that peace, right? Well, what do? You realize at some point, if you're smart enough, at some point you realize that you can't change other people. You cannot change other people. Now, you know that. I know that. We all know that. But what do we keep doing? We think that we're going to change other people. And the only person you can change is who? You got it. Yourself, go look in the mirror. That's the person that you can change. It's completely in your hands. Totally in your hands. Now, let's take it to the global example. We want peace in the world. Who can you change? Who are you changing? In the case of the Armenians, we're a small little minority, right? You got huge Turkey over there. And what do we want to do? We want to change Turkey from, stop picking on us, right? He's the bully in the neighborhood. You want to say, stop picking on us. And so you approach a bigger bully. You approach a bigger power, whether it's Russia, France, or the United States. You find a bigger power and you say, hey, this guy's picking on me. Will you help? Well, now listen to me. Not everybody is thinking the way you are. They have their interests too. Oh, did you know that? Did you know that? I'm not telling you anything new. But you would think that I am, right? The way we get on, we would think that somehow these other bullies, these other people in the world, have us, they're looking at us and say, oh yeah, let's help those Armenians because they're good people. They're first and foremost obligation is to who? To themselves. Themselves. So you go and you find the bully who's bigger than the bully that's bothering you, and you go over there and you say, help me because this bully's beating me up. And this guy will say, wait a minute. If this guy is a bully and picking on them, if I could make an alliance with this bully, guess what? There'll be two of us. Two of us, which we can take on their powers. We can take on different things. And so they start aligning themselves and build alliances. And we get bigger and bigger and bigger. Bullies, basically. Basically people that can, or governments that can, obliterate the world. And we see this. These are the alliances. We saw this during the world wars. We see them now, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We're seeing alliances that take place in business world and so on. And this is where you get into the politics. And it's interesting because we always keep coming back to this political dimension in solving the situation in the world. And we're saying, we want peace, and so we want peace. And the way we do it is we go out there and we find bigger bullies, we find bigger people who have bigger guns and bigger weapons, and if they could be on our side, we could take care of the others. And we keep doing this. In what Einstein, yes, scientist extraordinaire, who says it so beautifully, he says it's insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Oh. You mean it's okay to do the same? Of course it's okay. Every day I wake up and I have to do my work. I have to get in my car and I have to drive to work. I have to go into my office. I have to sit and go through mail. I have to stand up and walk around because I need to do that because I can't sit all day. And at the end of the day, I have to return home, whether home is walking through the door because I've been zooming all day or driving to my destination. I have to do that. It's doing the same thing over and over. Nothing insane about that. Everybody does it. But here's the insanity. To do that same thing and then expect a different result. Oh, get up in the morning, wash up, get in my car, go to the office, work, and then at night, come home. That's the routine. But instead, I'm expecting that when I go to the office, the boss is going to come in and say, here you go, here's tickets for the ball game. Go out there and enjoy it. Enjoy the game. It's on me. And then when you're done, all you have to do is get in your car and drive home. But when you get home, instead, there's going to be a huge theater sitting there. And you go there, and the popcorn's on me, and watch the latest film. It's absurd. It's like a dream, right? It's a dream. Well, that dream comes about how? Not by doing the same thing. If you want to go to a ball game, you need to go out there and buy the tickets and go to the game. If you want to go to a movie, you need to go up to a theater and do it. You can't just drive home and expect to see a theater there. It's absurd. It's absurd. And I'm using this absurdity, this hyperbole, so that you understand how absurd it is. So why do we think that if we want peace in the world, we have to do the same thing over and over, and somehow we're going to get peace? That if we go up to enough bullies, that they will bully our enemy, and they'll put him down. No! It's ridiculous. And we keep doing this. We keep speaking the language of the world, for bringing about change that requires us to change what? To change our heart. And the only people that you can change is yourself. So can we change? Can we change? And the first question is, do you want to change? It seems rather obvious, yes. What do you mean? Of course we want to change. Why else are we listening to you, man? I mean, like, yeah. Of course I want to change, but it's not as obvious as you think. There's a lot of people who say they want to change, but let's be honest. Maintaining the status quo brings a lot of comfort. Think about as simple as if you've done any move in your life, if you've moved residence from this place to the next place, from even something as small as moving an office or something. Yeah, there's a comfort in maintaining the status quo. So first of all, you need to convince yourself, do I want to change? I want to change. Okay. You've said that. Now you got to go about doing it. So once you have resolved that you want to change, you realize that it's in your power. That's the most important part of saying, yes, I want to change. See, that's the psychological part that a lot of times we forget about. We ask ourselves, do I want to change? Well, of course I want to change. It's not about, of course I want to change. It's when I do say, I want to change, I realize that the power now resides in me, that I have to want it. If you look at everything that Christ teaches, it's always us responding to him. It's not this magical incantation that takes place and you become a Christian. It's saying, yes, I want to follow you. Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And what does Peter say? Yes, my Lord. And follows. You have to make that answer. You have to answer God at his calling. It's not enough to say, well, of course I want it. Of course I want it. Do you want to follow me? Yeah, of course I want it. No, it's like yes or no. It's a basic thing. Do you want to change? Is there some change in your life that you're ready to make, that you want to work towards? Now, for me, peace. And obviously, peace in the setting where we're seeing the world collapsing upon the Armenians, where you've got this campaign out there. You've got this campaign to change history, to change the pictures, to change the storyline. You obviously realize that at some point you can't go about it alone. Now, this is really important right here, right? Because the obvious message that most people will teach you, you can't go about it alone. So let's go and find allies. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, yes. But this is what we have done over and over and over again. And so the absurdity, the insanity, is to do it one more time and then expect a different result. That's the insanity rule. And, you know, you're welcome to do it. Or you can go out and say, okay, I'm ready to change. I'm not going to continue it. Now you take a look at what's going on in the world and you say, well, have we talked about peace between the Arabs and the Israelis? Have we talked about it between Palestinians? Yes, we have. So the absurdity is to do it again and expect a different result. And that's what we're doing. Okay? The same thing with the Armenians. We come down to this basic idea of you go and you ally with people. You know, those people have their own interests. So the absurdity is what? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. And unfortunately, what's going on is this idea that somehow this peace is a political process. And it's not. It's not a political process. It's a change of heart. Now, you know, go back. This show is now almost going to be 13 years old. We're doing our 13th year right now. We're going to be starting our 14th year in just a couple weeks. You listen from day one, and you listen to what we've been talking about, what we've been preaching over here. It's understanding that you do have that power to change, and you have the power to change the things that are important to you, namely to bring about the peace, so that at night you can put your head on the pillow and be peaceful about it, and on a larger scale, that we can find peace in the world. This is not pie in the sky. This is just very basic. So the question is, how do you go about that? How do I go about bringing peace if it's just me? Well, let's think about this, okay? The first thing is to understand that if Christ said it, it's not a lie. He came into this world and he said, joy to the world, the Lord has come, as the Christmas carol sings. Let earth receive her king. Yes, that's beautiful. And the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Oh, okay. So Jesus has come to bring peace on earth. What? You mean not in, no, peace on earth is attainable. When? With goodwill, one towards the next. Okay, so we need to build these concepts. Rather than saying, okay, let's go and bomb somebody, let's go and find out how we can, obliterate an enemy, let's talk about this power that we have within to bring about change. Is this idealistic? Perhaps so, but I don't think that should be the reason you abstain from doing something like this, but rather give it a chance. Give it a chance. Back in the 60s, John Lennon had this song, the Plastic Ono Band, that Give Peace a Chance. It was so basic. Like, hey, can we just talk about peace? And here we are right now saying, can we talk about giving peace a chance? Giving love a chance? Giving this method a chance? You know, when you look at what's going on in the last 50 years? Yeah. 1971. I believe it was just like a couple weeks ago. I saw it somewhere. I said John Lennon and my head went off to imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no country. Imagine that everyone is living in peace and harmony. Can we imagine that? What an idea! And guess before John Lennon said it, that's what Jesus said. That's how easy it was. When he says, look at the lilies of the field, when he says, look at the birds of the air, he says, set your mind on God's kingdom, and all else will fall into place. What is that? Imagine a world where, yes, peace is possible, where harmony is possible. The birds of the air, the lilies of the field, look at them. They're here today, gone tomorrow, and God cares for them. It's relinquishing, it's allowing. Allowing that to happen. Allowing that peace to overcome. And you know what? I said John Lennon and I reached over to Jesus from there. But every major religious tradition talks about this. Talks about the flow. Are you in the flow, right? Can you be in the flow? It's to understand that, you know, there's factors all around you, and not to stand against it. In martial arts, right, which is basically in the ancient martial arts, which are spiritual warfares, right? How do you deal with it? You do not resist evil, right? What's the first message they tell you when you see evil coming? Run away. Get away. Do not resist evil. Well, where have you heard that? Oh, Jesus said it, right? I tell you, do not resist evil. Okay, when we resist, then you have to get into that next frame of mind where you have to go into the politics. And that's where we get all messed up. Because we have to align ourselves, ally ourselves with people for whom the same end goal is not there. See how simple it is? You want peace. You want peace. Not everybody's goal is that. For some it's conquest. For some it's to align with you so that I can gulp you in there too. So those alliances, even made for the most noble of reasons, are not going to work because your end result, your end goal is not the same. This is why I go to pain to share with you what the Christian goal has to be, namely the goal for Jesus Christ. I mean, you're welcome to take any goals you want, any end that you feel like you want to give your life to. But as a Christian, if you're going to use the name Christian, you have to follow the man who made the Christ possible, namely Jesus Christ, who said, "This is why I am here." This is Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and following. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Okay, these are the things. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closes the book and he says, "In your presence, right here, with all of you standing today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." There it is. It doesn't get any clearer than that. That's what we're here to do as Christians. So if we can put that as our goal, we see that it's not about finding political alliances, but to find the alliance with the heart. And for us to put our hearts in the right place. That our life is here as a life of sacrifice, a life of giving, a life of sharing, of doing those noble things. And here, this is the part that's going to get you. It's not about going to heaven. It's about doing it because God has asked you to do it, and because you know that that's what you have to do. You see how easy it is? I said a few minutes ago that, you know, there's this book, what was it called? Let me see, 8 Weeks to Optimum Health. It starts off by saying you have to purge your pantry of all these things that don't belong in there. That's what we've got to do. We've got to purge ourselves of all these false doctrines that we've come to accept, that we've come to put into our war chest, so to speak, our war chest of faith. Oh, forget about these doctrines. It's about loving, it's about caring, it's about sacrificing, and the end goal has to be that peace on earth, where there is goodwill towards men. I've been sharing this with you for a few weeks now about talking about purging, and it's all coming together. Those of you who have been following the last few weeks especially, I would say the last couple months, you know that there's a natural progression, and I hope you feel it. We're moving forward. So thank you very much. And by the way, I got some really cool comments on last week's. I appreciated that. And I think we're getting closer. At least I feel like I'm getting closer. Let me take a break right now. We'll be back. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments to wrap it up.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of you, for the wonderful notes, letters, and prayers that you send me. I really, really appreciate them. That's the kind of support that we need, and we do feel it. I want to start off by offering our condolences to our dear Susie, who lost her grandmother just a couple days ago. And I know we can say all kinds of things about preparedness, about, that they've reached a ripe old age and all that, but no matter what, they are grannies. They brought love into our families. They are first and foremost mothers. And as ready as you may be, it's always difficult to say goodbye. And all we can pray for right now is the graces of the Holy Spirit be upon you and your family as you go through this period of transition in your grandmother's life. As she enters eternity, may you be consoled and comforted with the beautiful memories that she leaves, and of course, with the ultimate faith that we have in Jesus Christ, that life does not end here, but merely changes. May God rest her soul. This weekend, I'm going to be up in the San Francisco Bay Area attending a memorial service for a very dear friend. In many ways, a mentor to me. He was the first parish council chairman that I had to serve with back in the 1980s at the Cupertino Parish. And he was a little bit older. He was a psychologist at school. And just really had learned so much just from his mannerism. This was truly a teacher who taught by living, by his life. He never sat down and said, this is the way you do it. He just lived it. And it was an exemplary life. Him and his family, just wonderful people. And we're going to be celebrating his life. Yeah, and I really believe that it is a celebration when people like this touch our lives. We'll be celebrating up in the Bay Area. This Sunday, I will be at the St. Andrew Church in Cupertino, California. If you happen to be up there and want to attend the Divine Liturgy, probably starts at 10 or 10:30, not sure. You could check in with the church, but would love to see you. That does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. You can find us on all the socials, and on behalf of Susie, our producer, and myself, Father Boston, we look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
The quality of the podcast you just heard was dramatically diminished because of the technical difficulties beyond our control. We apologize for any inconvenience and look forward to having you join us next week as we take the next step with the sound issues rectified.